Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, we made it to Friday, everybody. It's big day, by the way. Penn State football team practicing this afternoon. Basketball banquet, by the way, will be tonight. And then tomorrow, big day for the Nittany Lions as well. We're 8 days away from the blue-white game in Beaver Stadium. Looking forward to that. In fact, I think we're going to get Patrick Chambers on the show next week. Talk a little hoop, and then get a little one-on-one with Bill O'Brien coming up as well. So we have a lot going on. Today, Rich Scarcella from the Reading Eagle will step in. Rich's sensible, intelligent approach, which is on display in the Reading Eagle all the time. We'll hear from Rich in just a few moments. And because it is Friday, and because it is Masters weekend, we need to go out and get to the beverage supermarket. We need to go to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Oh, beverages? Oh, yeah. Snacks? Oh, yeah. Pickle bar? You better believe it. That's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And don't forget, of course, the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Salins Grove on Routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. We'll come back with more in a moment, but first, above the noise, here's Dan Patrick.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring.
Like a 2009 Ford Econoline cargo van E150 with the lowest price promise. So call for a price. 888-536-8017. 2012 Ford Fiesta 5-door hatchback SE, $12,999. 2006 Lexus LS 430, $25,800. Like new 2011 Lincoln MKX four-wheel drive, $31,488. And a 2010 Ford Roush Mustang 427R, five-speed, under 10,000 miles, just $34,995.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Welcome to the Friday Steve Jones Show. Steve in the Sunbury Motors studio today. Hilscher's General Store hotline will be open this afternoon as well. Toll free at 800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Your chance to ask your Penn State football questions, maybe talk a little Masters golf, whatever's on your mind sports-wise. You can chat with Steve here in just a few minutes. Corey Geiger on yesterday talking not only about college sports, or college athletes rather, being paid to play, but also talking a little bit about some of the controversy that has surrounded him over the last several months now to about a year, with some of the flack that he's been taking from Penn State fans. And if you did not get a chance to hear that, very interesting interview Steve had with Corey Geiger, the Altoona Mirror. That's online, stevejonesshow.com. Just click on podcast and you can be checking out that particular piece of audio from yesterday. And of course, all the things you hear here on the Steve Jones Show available on the podcast just after the show ends at stevejonesshow.com. So if you go out for a walk or something like that, can't make the show all the show from 3 to 5. You can actually listen to it on your iPhone, your Android device, whatever you have handy.
Do I get to hear this part again? Because this part was really scintillating.
Wow. And you say I'm bitter.
I thought I complimented you. I thought scintillating was a good word.
I wasn't shooting for scintillating, but...
Bill O'Brien at the football banquet gets up and he's thanking people. Thanks Fitz. Thanks to Tim Bream. Thank you, whatever. He says, Steve and Jack, says, thanks for all the scintillating post-game show questions. I got back up after him. He said, thanks for all the scintillating answers.
I'm sure.
I did.
You know, you've talked about it before. It's and I've never had a chance to talk with him, but it seems like you guys have been able to really hit it off really well right out of the gate. And that is so important for someone who's covering the same team over and over again to have a good rapport with the head coach and be able to have that kind of a relationship.
Well, look, if you don't, it's a long experience for everybody.
Sure is.
All right, I don't think people get that it's. I think there's some people in the media. Look, I don't ever refer to Penn State as we or us. I never do. I never have. I never will. It's just my way of calling a game, and that's how I do it. Okay, well, I'll leave it at that. That's my way of calling a game. All right. And I think that, but you still have to develop relationships. I have to do the quarterback club every Wednesday. It's very important for the players when they get up there that they know me and that they trust. Because, look, it's quarterback club. This isn't 60 Minutes. It's quarterback club, not 60 Minutes. And that makes a big difference as to what you're doing. I think.
Well, in talking about the play-by-play voices and guys that cover teams all year long, that leads me to an interesting thing that happened last night in the Dodgers-Padres game. Now, I think everybody's heard about that, but I don't know that everybody's heard the way Vin Scully called it. Now, obviously, he covers the Dodgers all season long, but I thought the way he handled this particular incident was very, very interesting. Let me play it quick.
3-2. And it hit him, wouldn't you know. Now he has something to say, and look out here. A.J. Ellis got out there just as Branke and Quinton got together. It looks like the majority of the players are trying to be peacemakers. The trio of Branke along with A.J. Ellis and Carlos Quinton. Now here come the Dodger bullpen contingent. Quinton being led away off to the left. And Matt Kemp is irate. Don't touch me, I think he said to Bud Black. Don't touch me, Matt Kemp keeps saying to Bud Black. So Quinton hit again. And
if you listen to that, Steve, the one thing that I took out of that is you can't tell that is a guy that does Dodgers games all the time.
Yeah, but he also doesn't know how badly hurt Greinke is either.
Well, he doesn't at the time. You're absolutely right. He does not have any idea that it's a broken collarbone. I think that's what it is a broken collarbone.
It is. He's out 6 to 8 weeks.
He has no idea that's what it is. But I thought it was really interesting the way he handled it. He just described what was out there and what was going on, and that was it.
Yeah, I mean, no, he did. He told you exactly what's going on. I mean, I've done one bench-clearing thing before, and you just describe what's going on because I don't feel like, at that point, you're just trying to describe things.
Well, I mean, he could have easily said, well, you know, that's the payback for what happened a few innings earlier, and no need to go out there and start tearing out at the mound. He didn't. He just continued and didn't editorialize. He just went out and said what was going on. That's the point I'm trying to make. I see a lot of home announcers not do that.
Yeah, but see, I've been through that, and I'm kind of just taking you through what's going on. Here comes this group, here comes this group, here comes this group. This is going on. Okay, now here comes, okay, now they're still going at it over here. I mean, I've done that before, where you're trying to describe what's going on and not editorializing. And I don't want to editorialize as to what's happened, especially in the moment. In the moment, editorializing sometimes is really bad. I mean, it's really bad because you get it wrong if you do it in the moment.
And I think the reason this stuck out to me today was because I had it happen for the first time this year, this past football season. I had a bench-clearing event.
You went at it with the other announcer?
No. But I had two high school football teams. There were three announcers in the booth at that particular time. There were three of us doing the game there. And I had that happen where both benches cleared. And I think the only thing that I recall saying and editorializing, and I did a little bit, was this is not the way a high school football game should be played.
Oh, that's nothing wrong with that. Look, Carlos Quinton. This is something I have talked about for years. Now, I think I mentioned it once last year when we first got the show started, but I've mentioned this other times at other points in my career. It was interesting to hear what Don Mattingly said after the game, because this is how I feel. And I talked about this 25 years ago. Whenever there is a deliberate intent where it ends up somebody is injured, the player suspended should be suspended for how long the other player is out plus one game.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think it makes a lot of sense.
I mean, that to me, I felt that way forever. If it's football, like for example, Joe Turkey Jones, remember he took Bradshaw and he decked him on his shoulder years and years ago. I mean, same thing. Should have been suspended for every game Bradshaw was out plus one. Ty Bertuzzi, okay? With the stick, same thing.
Have they announced a suspension for Quinton yet?
No, not yet. But again, Don Mattingly's right, and it's something I have said for years. I've always said this. Kermit Washington, Rudy Tomjanovich, you should always be suspended for every game the individual that you hurt is out plus one. Quinton charged the mound. Okay? Here's a guy who led the league in being hit by a pitch last year. He knows the drill. You run down to first base. That's what happens when you dive in at the plate like he does. He's a diver. I know Greinke's the third time he's hit him, but he's a diver. Odd thing is he doesn't wear pads. You notice a lot of the divers in baseball wear arm pads and things like the elbow pads.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I never thought about it, but you're right.
He does. And Quinton does not wear them, which is odd. Well, I'm sorry, but what he did by leaving the batter's box and going to the mound to physically challenge him, he then risked a suspension if he hurt him.
I think he risked a suspension, period.
Well, no, I'm saying, though, the length of suspension I'm talking about, the second he left, he was risking it.
Which, by the way, now, appears to be about 2 months if the suspension were to equal what Greinke's going to be out.
Yeah, well, guess what? He should be out 2 months. You leave the box like that to physically challenge someone, and then they end up being hurt at that point. Your right to play has been extinguished until that person comes back. Why should the Dodgers be penalized 2 months of Zach Greinke and the Padres not be and only be penalized 7 games, 10 games? Why? Makes no sense. Makes no sense at all. Tigers at 2 under right now. all pars just like he did yesterday as he started out. He probably will not get a birdie until he gets to par 5, 8th. McIlroy is at 1 under. Dustin Johnson had it to 7 under par. And then he bogeyed 14, double bogeyed 15, bogeyed 16, birdied 17, or excuse me, bogeyed 17, and then double bogeyed 18 and finished at 1 under. How about that?
The Masters on SJS.
Well, what's interesting, though, on the Masters is that Justin Rose has got it to 4 under. Adam Scott finished at 3 under. Jim Furyk's at 5. Freddie Couples finished at 5. Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle, next half hour.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Steve in the Sunbury Motors studio today. Got a couple of questions via Twitter today that we'll pass along to Steve in a moment. And if you want to follow Steve on Twitter, it's at Steve Jones PSU. That's at Steve Jones PSU. You can ask your questions there. And we have a question about Manti Te'o and the Giants coming up here in just a few minutes. We were talking earlier about the Dodgers-Padres brawl from last night and how it was handled on the broadcast with Vin Scully. And as Steve said, he didn't think he really knew what the injury was to the Dodgers pitcher at that point. He is going to be out, by the way, it looks like 2 months. A broken collarbone appears to be the injury. And, you know, one thing that Steve's talked about here in the last half hour, and we've talked about before, is the punishment for Carlos Quinton should probably be about the same thing as the length of time that Zach Greinke is going to be out, and that would be a couple of months. So we'll get Steve's thoughts on that here in just a few minutes. And again, the toll-free line will be open, the Hilshers General Store hotline at 800-795-9565. We'll open that up again after the 4 o'clock hour at 800-795-9565. You can ask your questions about Penn State football and maybe talk a little bit about what's going on right now at the Masters, or maybe even talk a little bit of baseball. Phillies did not lose last night. Of course, they didn't win either. They had the day off. So I had nothing to complain about, I guess you could say. We'll have more of the Steve Jones Show coming up on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring.
Like a 2009 Ford Econoline cargo van E150 with the lowest price promise. So call for a price, 888-536-8017. 2012 Ford Fiesta 5-door hatchback SE, $12,999. 2006 Lexus LS 430, $2,588. Like new 2011 Lincoln MKX four-wheel drive, $31,488. And a 2010 Ford Roush Mustang 427R, 5-speed, under 10,000 miles, just $34,995.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. We'll talk about Kevin's questions from Twitter in just a few moments. First of all, we want to bring in Rich Scarcella from the Reading Eagle, my good friend, and talk about Penn State football. Rich, welcome. Great to have you back.
Good afternoon, Steve.
Great to hear from you, Rich.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. We know it's going to be basic next week.
But how interested are you, and what will you actually look for when you take a look at the two quarterbacks?
Well, what I'll look for is just not anything specific, poise in the pocket, decision-making, arm strength. There's some of the things that I'll be looking for. You know, from what Bill O'Brien has been telling us, it's a very close competition, but we also can't forget that there's a third horse in this race, and that's Christian Hackenberg when he arrives on campus in June. But I'll be interested because I think it's the first time these two guys will be playing with a lot of people in front of them. I mean, Stephen played last year, but, I mean, you know, with a lot riding on it, I think a lot more riding on it. I'll be interested to see how they both do.
What are some of the other areas that you'll take a look at with this team? Because, I mean, for the most part, they've been pretty much intact during the spring.
Well, I'll go back to what Bill has kept reminding us, the depth at linebacker. And I'm interested to see the linebackers behind the first three. Guys like Gary Wooten, Matthew Bainey. I'm curious to see how they look on the field. That's one area I'll be looking at.
Yeah, and interesting to see how that plays out, especially no Ben Klein right now either, because he would be a guy that would provide some depth at that linebacking spot. When you look at the secondary, Rich, that was an area that last year drew a lot of interest early. Does it seem, at least on paper, a better situation?
Well, I think so, Steve. I would think you'd have to say that with all the experience back there. I really, really like the safeties. I know Stephen Obeng Agayapong is out for the spring, out of contact drills, and he won't play next week. But I really like him, and Lee Golden has looked good on that side of the ball. I think the secondary is going to be one of the strengths of the defense for sure.
Let's face it, with a couple of open practices here and there, you know, briefly, some teleconferences, Big Ten teleconferences and so forth. Do you feel like, at least from the head coach's point of view, you as a writer have a better perspective on where things stand a week out?
Yeah, I think I do. I mean, I think it's clear. There's a couple things that have been made clear to me, at least. I think to most people, too, that Bill is very concerned about the depth of linebacker. He's very careful not to give, not to publicly say that either quarterback has an edge. He likes the offensive line. He likes the first three linebackers, and I think he's encouraged by the kicking game. I think he's very encouraged by what Sam Ficken has done so far this spring. And you know, I think if you're a Penn State fan, I think this year, I think it's going to be another entertaining, fun year.
Yeah. I agree with that, and I want to get back to the offensive line for a moment. The value of Mac McWhorter and what he's been able to do in a short period of time here.
Boy, that's an excellent point, Steve. I don't think there's any question that Mac McWhorter in, 14, 15 months, whatever it is, has done a remarkable job with the offensive line and deserves a lot of credit. You know, Penn State's offensive line last year was very good. I wouldn't say it was one of the one or two best in the conference, but it was very good. And, you know, with John Urschel, with the way he was talking yesterday, he thinks that you know, the continuity and the chemistry, if you will, is very strong on this starting five, too.
Something that we get an opportunity to see is people really mature from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
John Urschel is somebody that, you know, based on what he's done in his body of work away from the football field, certainly is a mature young man. I mean, without question, he can't be. Without question. Yet he's become more vocal, and he's become somebody who's been a verbal leader when it comes time for people to sit down and talk with him, whether it's you, me, or whatever. What has that told you about, you know, his maturity as a football player and as a leader on a team?
Well, it tells me a lot. It tells me he's much more comfortable in front of tape recorders and cameras, number one, than he was a year ago. yesterday on the Big Ten call, and I'm not sure if you were on it. It was right around this time, so you had a show to do.
Yeah.
But it's the first time that I can remember in my years of covering the Big Ten that a player had to be kind of shooed off the line because he was just giving these long, thoughtful answers, and the PR person from the Big Ten had to say, "Okay, John, that's enough. We have to go to the next coach." I mean, he was in the 9-10 minutes he was on, gave terrific answers. He is the clear campaign manager for Ty Howe, the unofficial Ty Howe agent. Loves Ty Howe, made that very clear. And he's just a very confident, comfortable guy in his own shoes. You know, he's just such an impressive guy.
Without question. And it's amazing to watch. I mean, he ended up teaching a class this semester, which is amazing.
Yes. I mean, when you...
culture here.
How many starting football, how many football players, Division I, anywhere in this country, are teaching a class as an undergrad? Or not as an undergrad, while he's still a member of the football team.
Right.
It's remarkable.
It is remarkable. The usage of the tight ends, I mean, this goes back to last season because, I mean, a lot of that hasn't changed. It creates a lot of mismatches out there, but talk about having a philosophy and walking into a situation where bodies were there.
Yes.
That part worked out remarkably well.
Yeah. Steve, look at the tight ends right now on this team. Kyle Carter, Jesse James, Matt Lehman, Brent Wilkerson, Adam Brenneman. I would strongly doubt that you can have five better tight ends on one team in Division I football. And with those five tight ends, I think you're going to see, as Bill O'Brien has said, you're going to see the offense evolve and play to that and play to those strengths, play to the strengths of Allen Robinson. You know, he didn't call it expansion, but the offense is going to change. And to have five guys like that, as talented as that, and who can do so many things, can't do anything but help your offense.
Defensive line, part of it, you know, Larry Johnson, and it was featured on the Big Ten Network the other night with Howard Griffith about how he teaches defensive line. But when you look at, you know, Jordan Hill obviously goes to the next level, but do you see the cupboard still being very full?
Well, I don't think you can ever say that the defensive line is going to be a question mark. I can't remember the last time we've ever said that since Larry Johnson has been on the staff, to be quite honest. I think Daquan Jones is primed for a big year.
Yeah.
I really like Deion Barnes. Obviously, he made a big impact last year. I have no doubts that the defensive line will be a strong point of the defense.
Overall, you know, next week you get blue white game. Mm-hmm. We know it's basic. We talked about that before.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You talked about what you're looking for the quarterbacks. How do you look at a blue white game so that you feel like you're giving it the proper perspective?
Well, that's a really good question because I have to be honest, it's one of my least favorite days of the year covering Penn State football. Because I think too much emphasis is put on performances in the blue-white game, especially by fans, and has been over the 20-some years that I've been covering the team. So it's really difficult. So what I try to do is focus on, you know, certain areas. And of course, next week, the focus will be on Stephen Bench and Tyler Ferguson.
Right.
And and that's what people want to read about. They want to read about the quarterbacks. But truthfully, there's nothing definitive going to come out of this, again, because of Christian Hackenberg entering the race in the summer. So, you know, you sort of have to balance that out. But I think the people who will be coming to the game, the people who will be watching on the Big Ten Network, will be most interested in the quarterback position.
Rich, it's always a pleasure. I hope you have a great weekend. Can't wait to see you up here next week.
Steve, thanks for your time, and talk to you soon.
Ritz Scarsella, Reading Eagle. All right. Kevin?
Yes?
Your thoughts.
On anything in particular, or?
What we just talked about.
Well, I think he hit everything, especially the quarterback situation. We talked about that yesterday. You know, the two quarterbacks in there are going to have a substantial advantage. It'll be interesting to see how Christian Hackenberg steps in. But let's face it, he's going to be a little bit behind, and there's going to be a learning curve there.
We'll find out, we'll find out initially how he does. Again, I go back to the same thing I tell everybody all the time. Hey, if I haven't seen them, I'm not going to really tell you what they can and can't do because I don't know.
I wonder, though, I've read a few of the stories that he's written recently, and one of the ones recently was he felt that the linebackers were going to be a more of a concern than even the quarterback, offensive line, or special teams.
Well, it's the depth at linebacker, but some of the things have been okay there. For one thing, so far, you've had Glenn Carson, Mike Hall, and Naeem Wortman. Now, that's a really good starting linebacking unit. Versatile. Wortman had a great scrimmage last Friday. And Hall is just a really good football player. I think Hall is the next in the line of great Penn State linebackers. And Carson has been steady and experienced in the middle, which is what you would expect him to be. Now the question comes up of depth. Gary Wooten moved from the outside to the middle.
And I was going to ask you about him.
Has had a really good spring. He's quick. He's alert. Makes plays. And I think he has done really well because the traffic pattern is different inside than it is outside. Don't ever discount that. It's not like, oh, yeah, they just moved him in there. Okay, fine. Until you realize that the traffic outside is one way and the traffic inside is all over the place. He's done well there. Don't forget about Ben Klein. Ben Klein is a really good linebacker. He has missed the entire spring coming back from shoulder pectoral, okay? And he is just about back now, but they're not going to put him in pads and throw him out there because there's no need to right now. So he's just about back. So you're too deep in those two spots there. Can they get another outside linebacker? And maybe one of the freshmen, Bell, for example, could be that guy. That's what, that's what we're trying to find out. That's what we'll try to find out as well. People have talked about Hackenberg. Well, there's another guy that you know. In this class that you may want to take a look at for giving depth at that linebacking spot. You do that, you're too deep, you're good, you're pretty good shape. Especially on a team that has 70 to 72 scholarships. That's about where they'll be this upcoming season.
Bainey from State College?
Matthew Bainey from State College is also in there. And he is somebody that I think, first of all, he's smart. Matthew Bainey is a coach's son. He's smart, does a good job on depth, may not have the athleticism, for example, of some of the other guys that we're talking about, but still knows how to play the game. So he gives them a little more depth at the outside linebacking spot. Let's see. This is a Twitter question on Manti Te'o.
Right.
The Giants do need a linebacker. There's no question about that. And, of course, the Giants have been interested in Manti Te'o. And could he help them? Possibly. Again, I'm not totally sold on every single thing that he does. I never was, even last season. I think he's a really good inside linebacker who plays the run pretty well and is okay against the pass. I think a lot of it, you look at a lot of his interceptions, he did a great job last year of being in the right spot, but a lot of those were on deflections and so forth, where it's not really, it's his coverage. It just turned out the ball went into his area, like the Oklahoma interception he had. So I think he's okay in pass coverage, quick enough, but he plays the run really well. And the Giants do need an inside linebacker.
Well, I have to ask the question, though. I mean, was that bowl game just an anomaly? Or Alabama was just that much better because he didn't look real good. He wasn't always in the right positions. At least that was my impression.
Look, I don't know, because obviously based on what we've seen, his head was swimming.
Well, and that's a great point, but I didn't want to use that as an excuse either.
Yeah, but it's really hard to concentrate on what you're doing when you've got that kind of insanity going on around you. Very difficult to concentrate. Some people can do it. I know I've been forced to do it a couple of times. Son in hospital. I did a game right after my mother passed away. Things like that, you know. So I know I can do it. It's not easy because you're consumed with something else, but you can do it. I mean, Torrey Smith? Torrey Smith did it for the Ravens. So, but yeah, I think that, you know, that enters into it. Plus, the offensive line for Alabama is outstanding, and they just got to him. I mean, the Notre Dame defensive front did a lousy job of protecting him. I mean, part of the job of a defensive line is to open up life for the linebacker. They opened up no life for him. They were getting clean shots at him. Well, the defensive line is partially responsible for that because they weren't taking care of their business up front. I mean, Notre Dame was just completely outmanned and outclassed in that game. So, you know, you work him out, you see, there's a lot of, you know, and that wasn't the only team he faced. He played well against Oklahoma. He played well against Southern California.
Made a couple of nice stops against Pitt, if I remember correctly. Late in that game, too, if I remember.
Yeah, well, I'm not so sure that the Pitt kicker missing field goals did Notre Dame any favors.
Well, that was definitely another issue, but
yeah. I mean, he's really good. He's a really good player. And in a draft, this is not a deep draft. This is not a deep draft. And that helps him. That benefits him tremendously in terms of where his draft position. I think the Giants are 19 on the board. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Next half hour, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Yes, we'll ask Kevin all those critical Steeler questions.
Good.
Questions that make your blood boil.
Depending on the answer.
Next half hour.